To mark Memorial Day, a conversation with poet and Iraq War veteran Kevin Powers. He served as a machine gunner in 2004 and 2005 in Mosul and Tal Afar. When he came back, he wrote the award-winning novel The Yellow Birds, based on his war experience. And today, Charles Monroe Kane talks with him about his new poetry collection. They began with the title poem.
Letter composed during a lull in the fighting. I tell her I love her like not killing, or 10 minutes of sleep beneath the low rooftop wall on which my rifle rests. I tell her in a letter that will stink when she opens it of bolt oil and burned powder and the things it says. I tell her how Private Bartle says offhand that war is just us making little pieces of metal pass through each other.
Whew, that is a very powerful. I've read that poem like 10 times and it really affected me. What's the story behind that poem?
Really, the story behind the poem is about a year after I returned from overseas, I kind of went back to the tool that I had always kind of used to ask questions about my life, and that tool is writing. And I mean, I've always used it when confronted with the confusion and difficulty that the world presents us all with. So I was trying to reflect back to these moments I had when I was overseas where there would be a moment of space and quiet. In those times, you don't really have the kind of capacity to reflect in the way that you want to. And I was thinking, well, what would I say? You know, what would I have said to my mother, to my girlfriend, to anybody's loved one, brother, sister, husband? You know, what would I say? How would I communicate this? And I tried to find some kind of direct statement that I could make about what it's like to be in those moments, what it's like to feel the distance from not just those you love, but kind of the person that you were when you were close to them.
You know, it's funny, I'm listening to you talk and I start thinking that, you know, writers have to struggle with cliches, but if you're a poet, you really got to struggle with cliches. And if you're a poet who just fought a war, I mean, war is full of cliches. I mean, soldiers go to war to fight for their country and end up fighting for each other. No soldier returns from war the same person who went. You know, war is hell. There's no truth in war, only experience. You want to communicate with writing, but how do you navigate all the cliches?
Well, I mean, I think the difficult thing about a cliche is that it's something that's so true that we now take it for granted, right? So you try to present it in a way that not necessarily where the concept or the idea feels new, but the presentation of it feels new, so that when you do encounter this very old idea, like violence has an effect on those who participate in it and those who witness it, that when you see that very old and familiar idea, you react to it in a new way.
Could you read another poem for us? The poem Field Manual, I think, fits into this.
Sure.
Well.
I'll just turn to it.
Yeah, me too.
Field Manual. Think not of battles, but rather after. When the tremor in your right leg becomes a shake you cannot stop. When the burned man's tendon cheeks are locked into a scream that, before you sank the bullet in his brain to end it, had been quite loud. Think of how he still seems to scream. Think of not caring. Call this relief. Think heat waves rising from the dust. Think days of rest, how the sergeant lays the .22 into your palm and says the dogs outside the wire have become a threat to good order and to discipline. Some boys have taken them as pets. They spread disease. They bit a colonel preening for a TV crew. Think of afternoons in T-shirt and shorts, the unending sun, the bite of sweat in eyes. Think of missing so often it becomes absurd. Think quick pop, yelp, then puckered fur. Think skinny ribs. Think smell. Think almost reaching grief, but not quite getting there.
That end lining, think almost reaching grief, but not quite getting there, just shakes me to my core. Who's this field manual for? Is it for the 17-year-old who might enlist in the army? Is this, who did you write it for?
Yes, it's for that person, but it's in a way it's intended as a manual for those people who were kind of dealing with memories like this. It's a way of, you know, articulating it an appropriate response to the difficulty of the emotional baggage that comes with these memories. I suppose in a way it's a statement of acceptance. I mean, one of the questions that I kept returning to is, by having these sort of extreme experiences, are you then forever defined by them and therefore limited by them? Or do you have the option to make a decision, to make different choices, to think of your experience in a different way, to allow the future to be different than the past? I suppose that the speaker of the poem is somebody who's on that line, at that point where that decision could potentially be made.
Kevin, I mean, just by writing it down, though, even though you do it beautifully, don't you fear that you're glorifying it? I know you're not into details, but just by writing it down, maybe you are.
I don't think so. Okay. I hope not. You know, some of the poems in this book that I'm most, well, that I feel like are kind of accomplishing what I hope to accomplish are the ones where someone's getting close to kind of overcoming the difficulty of that experience. So it's not necessarily the experience of being in war that I'm hoping to celebrate. It's the experience of kind of returning to life.
You know, the New Yorker recently wrote an article about Iraqi war poetry. You were in it quite a bit throughout it. A really interesting article. And at the end, it says this. It says that of war, the story can only end in irony. Is that how you see all this ending, that it all ends in irony? After a whole article on war poetry, I was so disappointed in that ending, but I don't know if that's true. I haven't experienced it.
I mean, I don't know if, no, I don't know if that's true or not. I certainly think it's an argument that could be made. I mean, it is one way of kind of contextualizing it and thinking about it. But no, for me, at least for the individuals who have gone through these experiences, maybe collectively we have to react to it ironically because we know that unfortunately war is not a thing that's going to end anytime soon. But for the individuals who've had these experiences, I think there is, as I was talking before, there is a genuine change that can come about. There is an ability to look at the preciousness of life in a new way, to acknowledge and appreciate that, to allow that to kind of guide your choices, your actions in the future. And I say that without even the slightest hint of irony, so.
Well, thank you. I that's a beautiful ending. It gives a lot of hope. I would love if you could leave us with one more poem.
Sure. I think, I think I'll read a poem called Separation. I want the boys at the end of the bar to know, these young Republicans in pink popped collar shirts to know, that laughter drives me mad. And if one must be old before one dies, then we were old. 19 or 23, and we were old, and now, as the fan spins and the light shines off their gelled hair and nails, I want to rub their clean bodies in blood. I want my rifle, and I want them to know how scared I am still, alone in bars these 3 years later, when I notice it is gone. I want the boys at the end of the bar to know that my rifle weighed 8 pounds when loaded. And on my first day home, I made a scene in a bar, so drunk that I screamed and wept and begged for someone to give it back. How will I return fire? I cried. I truly cried. But no one could give it back because it was gone, and I felt so old, 24 and crying for my rifle, and the boys at the end of the bar were laughing.
Kevin Powers served in Iraq in 2004 and 2005. He talked with Charles Monroe Kane about his most recent volume of poetry, Letter, composed during a lull in the fighting.